Hello, everyone. Hugo here, and welcome to episode 17 of the Kazushi Podcast, where Greg and I interview Leanne Morris, co-owner of World Class Martial Arts in Holmes, Pennsylvania, and owner of the Josie Haishi Jiu-Jitsu brand. Leanne is a fourth degree black belt and master instructor in Tang Soo Do, as well as being a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. We learn about Leanne's journey through martial arts and her new brand trying to build a strong community within Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Also, Greg and I are hosting an event we're calling the Philly Jiu-Jitsu Festival, which will feature an adult sub-only tournament along with the Rose Gracie Kids event. This festival will be held on Saturday, April 28th, and the kids event will be held on Sunday, April 29th, both at the Philadelphia Convention Center during the Philly Fit Expo. Go to pilgrimjiujitsu.com for more information and to register for these events. And now, on to the episode. The Kazushi Podcast. Leanne Morris, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be back again.
Yeah. I'm flying solo here. Greg may jump on at some point if he ever figures out his technical difficulties. So this would be a fun. Usually it's me talking anyway, so it's kind of not much different. So you are the proprietor, marketer of Jose Haishi. Can you tell us what that's all about?
Yes, it's Jose Haishi Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, I said it wrong again. I'm so sorry. Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, big fail. I apologize.
It's Japanese for female soldiers jiu-jitsu.
Awesome. Why that name? Like, where'd you find that? Where would one find that?
The name was something that was very important, something that I definitely wanted to make sure was like an empowering name. Going back, you know, to the jiu-jitsu roots, how it all began in Japan, stemming from that, and being like female warriors, female soldiers out there. And actually, my sister-in-law is Japanese, right from Japan. So, you know, I got to do some translating with her and making sure that everything was just right in particular. Because, again, sometimes you'll translate something in another language and think it means this, but in reality, it really means that.
Right.
You know? So everything was on point. But, you know, it was it's kind of, it is a tough name to say. And sometimes I feel like there's a little bit of mystery in the name, too. Like, well, what is that? Who is that? But when you know what it is, it's a very empowering name and a very strong name for the brand, you know, for the women of jiu-jitsu.
Oh, that's awesome. I think I remember hearing even one of the more famous samurai in Japan was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think I forgot her name. It's right there somewhere in my brain. But I remember supposedly she was, you know, very, you know, sort of militant and and serious, and that apparently a soldier accidentally tore one of her armor plates and he cut his head off, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
There's a lot of women in history that you don't hear anything about, you know?
And that seems to be a common thread I'm seeing from female jiu-jitsu practitioners, is the sense of the history of it, the respect that is comes from samurai warfare. I kind of like that. I think that's interesting because, you know, most dudes don't really say that. You know, they.
Right.
Yeah. You know. When we had Hicks and Gracie's daughters on, they talked about that extensively. So I think that's kind of cool. And that's, while I like Brazilian culture and its sort of lax, you know, surfer attitude, I do miss the formal nature of some of the more traditional martial arts like karate and and all that. So, like, yeah, kind of getting back to its roots about, you know, the samurai culture and what we do is pretty neat. So as far as the brand goes, is there a product attached? Is it just the overall female jiu-jitsu aspect?
It's It's kind of a little bit of everything. It's a little bit different. Okay. It is a brand. It's an athletic wear brand created by female athletes for female athletes, but it goes beyond the brand. So it's not like, go to our website, buy this, here you go, see you later. the brand to me is just a name. Mm-hmm. The brand is truly all of the women who are a part of this. Because it wouldn't be anything, you know, without all of these ladies, all of these young ladies. And we even have men who are supporting, you know, the father supporting their daughters, the husband supporting their wives, the boyfriend supporting their girlfriends, mm-hmm. you know, and it's fantastic. We're not doing this to say, oh, this is a women's only thing, blah, blah, blah. No, it's for everybody, you know, it's right. for everybody. And so we are very much connected with, you know, after somebody gets their gear, things like that. How did this work for you? How's that working for you? I want to make sure that, you know, I take pride in the gear with my brand's name on it, that it's good. Mm-hmm. You know, right. this brand for somebody who's the average hobbyist to the elite competitor, you know, because right. not everybody, and we were, you know, discussing this the other day, not everybody is like a high level athlete who could get in there every day doing this, doing that. But it's a community too, where, you know, again, beyond the brand, we have events like we had this weekend. We had Sophia McDermott out, you know, for a seminar weekend.
Right.
Do monthly open mats. They were at my headquarter location last year. Pretty much every month we had one. Now this year we're going to be expanding because obviously not everybody could come to Philadelphia all the time, you know.
Right.
So we're expanding because we have a team of ambassadors, core team members, fully sponsored roster. So now once a month, you know, we have, like last month we had 3 open mats being hosted by some of the core team and ambassadors.
Right.
This month I have like 3 more. So it's basically just, it's a community where all of these women, when you see this patch, when you see somebody wearing this brand, you know, you're going to know that, you know, this is going to be a good time. You know, we fit in here. You don't have to feel like, well, should I go? Should I not? Is it this? It doesn't matter. Whether you're a first time, you know, lady starting, or you're at the highest level, you're going to be able to go have a good time and learn something.
That's wonderful. How long did it take from it to go, say, from like an idea in your head to, okay, I'm going to make this a living, breathing thing?
3-4 months.
Oh, wow. That's a really quick turnaround.
I get an idea. So I'll get like really obsessed with something when I really want something and I don't stop till I get it.
Right.
And I, like, if I have something I want, like, I gotta hurry up and do it.
Nice.
My husband's like, oh, you're so impulsive. Like, I'm not impulsive. I just, when I have, I gotta go with it. I gotta,
sure.
go, I gotta make it happen.
Now, have you been a serial entrepreneur?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Since probably like 2010.
Okay.
Was when I started doing my own thing with my husband, you know, in the martial arts. I've been doing martial arts. I have more of a traditional background in Tung Sudo.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing that since 1993.
Wow.
So I've been involved in the martial arts for a long time. I did some health and wellness coaching. I did some personal training ventures. You know, I dabbled in a couple of things. I like to do new things, but this is like the one real big thing now that I'm super passionate about. It takes a while to really find that thing that gives you that fire, you know,
right.
that desire and that you really want it to work. And it's got to be something that's bigger than yourself. And I think that's why I'm so driven with this, because this is in no way is about me. It's about, you know, all of these hardworking women in this community and in this sport right now,
right.
That I'm doing this for.
So did you I could assume you didn't like write a business plan. Which is okay if you didn't. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I just I get an idea and I just go with it. So I'm like a little bit different than the common business person, I guess, you know, that plans stuff out and make sure this. Sometimes I take a gamble, I take a chance.
Well, actually, you are more the norm than you think.
Yeah.
If you look, there are some that literally will sit there and write a proof of concept for a while and tested, researched with people. I know of a couple of smaller brands that, you know, the creator took 2 years before they went and actually launched it. And then there's some that literally did it on a whim. The guy that created Five Guy, he literally just took $35,000 of his own money, bought an old retail space and some fry equipment, and boom, like that was it. Like there was no... Yeah, there was no long-term plan. He didn't, you know, think like, okay, yeah, this will become eventually a chain and whatever. Yeah. It was just like, all right, I just want to make burgers. You know?
It's awesome, and now look at it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or have you ever heard of the spa line called Bliss?
I'm not sure I have, actually.
Okay, I don't know how big it is. They eventually did get purchased. But the the owner, same thing. She... just happened to know how to do facials and stuff like that for like spa treatments.
Yeah.
And literally was doing it as a side gig, and and it just so happened she helped someone out, some model, like her sister dabbled in modeling or something like that, and helped one of her models with like a facial treatment, and then that model gave her name to someone else, and then boom, it just became a thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No plans. No, you know, no, like, again, 5-year document, you know, whatever, you know, and it's funny. And even some of the bigger businesses, like I worked at a major toy company, and their whole thing was don't write anything down that you're not going to change in a year.
Right.
You know, so there's something to be said about that. That's really cool. so it took like, you know, say 3 or 4 months. What was like step one?
Figuring it out, I guess. Like, I guess this all evolved. I'll go back to the backstory a little bit.
Sure. Go all the way if you want. That's fine.
I started jiu-jitsu in like 2010. So this is going to be like my 8th year coming up this April in jiu-jitsu.
Congrats.
Thank you. I started in 2010. At the time, again, I think we might have briefly discussed this the other day, but I was a 3rd-degree black belt in Tang Sudo, and I wanted to be more well-rounded in my self-defense. And especially being like a petite woman, you know, somebody's going to take me, grab me, throw me to the ground, and sit on top of me.
Right.
So I don't take away from any art. I think every martial art has something to give, you know, and you can't knock one or say, oh, this is the greatest, this is the best. But I definitely believe that, you know, the jiu-jitsu was one of the most... I guess logical, if you will, because that's going to be the scenario you're in. So it's, you know, how to kick and punch, but there's different self-defense scenarios for different people, you know, like, yeah, that's a whole nother issue. So,
well, but, I definitely don't subscribe to the idea that one is the best. You know, I think opportunity sort of presents itself. All I know is if I ever got into a fight, my teeth are getting involved. I'm pinching, you know, vital parts of the body. I'm poking eyes. Like it doesn't matter. Like I'm not going to sit here and try to think of, like, I did Taekwondo prior to Jiu-Jitsu. Mm-hmm. I got up to a blue belt. So it was, you know, maybe like a year in or so.
Intermediate level. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, while I can do that, and I can throw a punch and kick and all that. If I get into a fight, first thing I'm going for are your eyes.
Right. Yeah, there's no right and wrong, and that's like what's great about defense. There's intelligent ways, and I always say there's no right or wrong way, but there's a smart way that, you know, hopefully at the end of the day you're going to get back to your family, back to your friends, back to your loved ones, you know, no matter how you defend yourself.
No, absolutely. I mean, one of my favorite videos I saw recently was a woman. I don't know the scenario, if she was waiting for the bus or walking on a corner, and a guy grabbed her. I think he tried to, like, put his hand up her skirt or something.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu purple belt.
Yep.
So she took him down at some manner and then got him in the side mount. Didn't do anything. Was just controlling him, which was awesome. And the best part was him crying that he couldn't breathe. You know, and she was super smart. She, you know, she just took him down, held him there, you know, waited. Somebody, I think, that was watching called the cops, and they were just waiting for the cops to come. And just the best part was just him crying about how he couldn't breathe, begging her to get off him. I thought it was just beautifully done. Because that, again, that was to the intelligence you were talking about, you know.
And that's another beauty of jiu-jitsu. It's because it's like you get to test the theory. And you could, but he could still walk away. Whereas when you're doing a striking art, if I'm going to punch you as hard as I can in that vital area, well, that's going to be a problem, you know?
Right.
So you could test that theory, and hey, guess what? My arm is still attached. So that's the difference. That's what makes it, you know, an amazing art, you know, one of those perks to it.
Right.
But, so yeah, so, you know, I started that. I did it. I hated it. I wanted nothing to do with it, but I had no students training alongside me. And being the chief instructor at that time and in the other art, you know, standing there saying, you don't quit, you don't get to quit, blah, blah, blah. Right. So I'm here and again, I'm like, well, I guess I'm stuck now. I can't do anything about it.
Right.
And my goal was to just kind of, I'm like, you know what, it'd be cool to be a blue belt. I'd like to get a color just to, you know, have something, but it is what it is. And I wasn't really adamant about, like, becoming a jiu-jitsu black belt or anything like that. I just, you know, was there. So then, I don't know, I was starting to train a little bit more. I was like, okay, now I'm going to get focused. Now I'm going to do it. I ended up earning my blue belt in about 2 years.
Nice.
So I got there. So 2012, then I kind of shifted gears back to my Tung Soo Do side.
Sure.
Because I was up to test for a fourth degree black belt master instructor in that.
Well, before we get to that point, what did you hate about jiu-jitsu? What was it that was, you were just like, ugh.
I'm claustrophobic. I hate, like, it's so weird, too, and I do martial arts. I don't like people's feet in my face.
I don't like
people sitting on top of me. It's just, it's gross.
Yeah.
It's gross. You know?
Yeah.
It's very uncomfortable. Well, now I'm not, but at the time, I mean, I learned to, now you could put any partner in front of me and I'm good to go, but that took me, like, quite a few years to get over.
My friends and family who don't train, when I tell them I do and what it is, they're just so freaked out about the concept of, like, you let people grab you?
Yeah. My family's like, I can't believe you like this. I can't believe, you know, and I'm like a germaphobe freak.
Yeah, there's all sorts of... I'm sorry?
There's something about jiu-jitsu that just draws you in then eventually, and you do end up... Like, some people are like, I was hooked from when I started. No, I hated it for years.
Right. So where was the turning point? What flipped you?
So I did my karate thing. Then I'm like, okay, now I'm going to focus on, like, jiu-jitsu a little bit more. I want to be, like, kind of, like, decent. I want to be okay at it, you know?
Sure.
So I was getting ready, getting focused. So this was probably, like, another 2 years then from, like, my blue belt. It had to be. Because then I was kind of getting ready. Then I found out I was training the one night and my chest was hurting me. I didn't know what was wrong. So then I find out I'm pregnant. So
there
was another, you know, thing to keep me from training. So me personally, again, I wasn't so gung-ho about it. So I didn't continue training. You know, jiu-jitsu wasn't life to me at that point. And I'm like, I'm just going to focus on, you know, being pregnant, teaching my Tung Soo Do and doing that. Then after I had my son, I was getting ready to get back to everything. And I'm pretty open about this. I dealt with postpartum pretty bad.
Oh, wow.
It was lots of anxiety, depression, like, just, you know, it was tough. It was rough.
Right. Well, let's explore that a little bit. Like, how does that, I mean, we know it's obviously from, like, a hormone imbalance, like how it manifests. But, like, how, for you, how did it manifest? Like, did you realize, like, I think there's something wrong here?
I was like the opposite. Postpartum in my mind was like sometimes you think when the woman doesn't feel adequate or doesn't want anything to do with the baby. My mind was like, it was the total opposite. I was very overwhelmed, but like everything was about my son. I didn't care about anybody else in my house. I didn't even care about myself. Like some days I'd be like, I wouldn't even take a shower, you know? My son was fed, changed, everything just right with him, but I had no motivation for myself. It was just, it was hard, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it was weird. And it was very overwhelming. See, for me, I never changed a diaper or fed a baby till I had my own. So it was totally different.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a big...
I'm not exactly the maternal type. Mm-hmm. I always, you know, wanted to have a child, but I'm not, like, very maternal. I mean, I guess they say you just know, and it does now. My son is 3 now, so
different.
I'm figuring it out as I'm going along, and it does just kick in then.
Yeah. No, absolutely. No, I can understand that.
Yeah, so it was a long road, and I would leave teaching here and just kind of look in the window and say, I'm too tired tonight. I'm not going tonight.
Mm.
So finally, after, like, it was like a good year, I talked to a good friend of mine who lives out in Seattle, and she's like, listen, she's like, you're dealing with postpartum, and you need to do something about it.
Wow.
So I went back to my doctor, and I said, look, this is what's going on, and do you want to talk to somebody? And nothing was wrong, you know? It was just, you know, this is what was going on, and my husband and I are very busy, and I think him not being as present as I needed him to be, because he's also an entrepreneur,
right.
You know, it was a lot going on, so I'm like, I need a quick fix, so whatever kind of medication I need to take, let's do it. And so I started getting on some medication for the anxiety and the depression, and sure enough, this actually worked in my favor into my jiu-jitsu then as well. I didn't have as much anxiety in my training with the claustrophobia anymore.
Huh.
And then my switch like really flicked after I got through all that. I'm like, all right, I'm ready for this.
Right.
I'd be watching on
Instagram
and social medias. Right. And I'm like, you know, why can't I do this? Why can't I be something in jiu-jitsu? Why can't I be somebody? And
were the anxiety attacks frequent or?
They weren't necessarily attacks.
Okay.
But I would feel strange.
Okay.
You know, I would feel panicky.
Okay.
I would like shake a little bit, but it wasn't like a full-fledged panic attack. Like, I remember trying to like strap my son in his car seat, and I would just be so overwhelmed, and so like I would be like shaking, you know?
Sure.
Jittery, but not like full-fledged, like, oh my God, I can't breathe type of a thing.
Right.
But enough to impact me.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. No. The reason I was, I had a friend who went through it, but hers were full-on panic attacks.
Yeah.
So that's pretty serious.
And that's more common than you think, too. There's so many women, you know, who deal with that and go through that, too. And that's why I'm like, at first, I was, of course, embarrassed about it. You feel weak. And I'm like, no, there's nothing wrong with me. There's so many women that need to know more about it. Or if they don't feel comfortable, like, who cares? It doesn't make you less of a mother, less of a woman, less of a person. It happens.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do something to make it better. Because if you're not good, how is your child going to be good? How's your family going to be good? How's your business going to be good? It all ties in together.
Yeah, we have a weird thing about that. Like, the idea of self-care. Like, it's okay to worry about yourself. Like, there's nothing wrong with making sure you're healthy. And especially if you're a mother and you have children and you have all these responsibilities. I mean, if anyone needs to be 100%, right, it's you, right? Like, it's but we're so weird about that. That's such a strange thing in our society where it's this weird societal pressure. You know, we have to be
like
perfect.
You can't speak of it.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Like, I know there's that the submit the stigma that Aaron Hurley's doing in the community, and that's amazing because it is stuff that needs to be addressed, and it is mental health is health. It's not always physical.
Yeah,
you know, and, there's like I said, there's so many people that I feel like. Pretty much a lot of people that I come in contact with, like 95% of people are dealing with something emotionally.
Sure.
It's not, you know, a physical thing.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the first step in taking any kind of care is like understanding that you have an issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm glad that it worked out for you. So the medicine helped you with your anxiety? Like,
absolutely. Yep. So, it helped me and it helped everyone. And that's why I went back and the doctor's like, how's everything? I'm like, good. I'm like, and I'm staying on it. I said, because my jiu-jitsu is improving on it now too, because I'm good on the bottom.
Yep.
I would be crushed like that. That would make me, I'd like tap immediately and be like, all right, get off.
Right.
And that was something that held me back from competing,
right.
That I actually was even able to get to the point where I've stepped out on the competition floor and went for it, you know, in the last couple years too, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So when was your first competition?
I did one as a four-stripe white belt long ago. In my mind, that was long ago. 2011.
Oh, really? What was the competition? Do you remember?
It was Naga Battle at the Beach, and I had like a couple of little goals. Don't submit because you're claustrophobic.
Okay.
Try not to get crushed like 15 to nothing or like by a huge gap, you know? And just little things. And
right.
I didn't do half bad. It was actually pretty decent. I didn't win, but I think I only lost by a couple advantages or something. I have it on video somewhere. But
nice.
I was happy with that. That was probably my best competition performance. Then as a blue belt, I was absolutely horrible. I hold the record for the most submissions in a tournament getting submitted.
But look, you stepped on the mat where most people won't go. I've never competed.
Yeah.
you know.
It's hard. It's like, and for me, it was such a change. So I'm like, I'm a national champion in Tung Soo Do, Taekwondo, mm-hmm. whatever. I'm like, I've been on the stage in that so many times. I never not win. So right. it's very humbling. It's very different. But I think if I didn't take those steps and get my ass kicked out there doing that, I wouldn't have progressed, you know, internally in my journey. Like, competition doesn't show what I can really do for, right. you know, again, that's another mental thing. Because I enjoy training, and I don't think I'm the best person out there. You know, I'm just, sure. I'm here doing my thing, enjoying it. But I really think that those losses did, I know it's cliche, but it's true. It made me take back a whole new thing to work on back in class and back to my academy.
Right.
And it helped me achieve my purple belt then finally.
And look who just joined us, Mr.
Hey
Greg.
There.
Hello.
Where in the world are you?
I am in Washington State. The airport apparently has zero cell phone service, and I had to walk out to the street to call an Uber.
Oh, Jesus.
And then awesome. the Uber map, sorry to interrupt your story, Leanne, but the Uber sure. map put my location in the middle of the airfield, so the driver was really confused. It was great.
Oh, tell me he drove onto the tarmac.
Yeah, I think if he could, he would have.
Oh, my God.
He was really funny, too, because he was like, I'm from Mexico. He's like, I gotta be careful. I can't do anything illegal. He's like, so I was driving really carefully, so nothing bad happens to me. Oh, you're important, too, but, you know, I'm not illegal. I look illegal because I'm from Mexico.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my God.
Really funny guy.
That would have been great if he actually drove onto the tarmac. Kind of like, you know how when GPS first started getting... into people's cars, and they would drive like into lakes.
Everywhere.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome. Well, I'm glad you arrived safe and you've been found.
Yes,
that's good. That's good. So back to your story, Leanne. You know, it's funny that your line there was really humble. I mean, I think at the end of the day, so what if you lose, right?
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Yeah. You know. And I've been talking to a lot of, you know, black belts throughout this last year. So I've been so fortunate to be around so many amazing black belts, you know, both female and male. You know, like I said, Sophia McDermott, mm-hmm. Jen Russell here, Lana Ricci, Christian Woodmansey's now in Philly. We're under Master Hobson Moore. I've been at camps with him getting to spend time and talk.
Nice.
Bruno Bastos. Getting insight from these people, these black belts who've been around the competition scene for long, you know, doing all these competitions. And they're giving me the advice that, like, it's okay, so what, you know?
Right.
And they're people that all eyes are on them. Me, I'm nothing, you know?
Sure.
I'm just somebody, you know? But it's like when you're somebody who's an elite competitor, you know, and it doesn't make you any different. It doesn't make you any less of a jiu-jitsu practitioner or a black belt or an instructor.
Right.
So what? Just do it, you know? Right. You're never going to know if you don't try something new and break out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nothing, you know, it's really more about you, right? Like you mm-hmm. doing it and checking the box, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to my nephew who's a big MMA fan, and this was shortly after the last John Jones Daniel Cormier fight, and you know Cormier lost. It was like, so, what does that mean?
I mean, keeps turning and you keep going.
Yeah, like does that take away anything from Daniel? No.
No.
I wouldn't fight with him.
Right?
Like, you know, I mean, I see some jiu-jitsu competitors. I've seen, you know, plenty of competitions, and I'm like, I wouldn't, like, I mean, I would spar with them, like, of course, but like as a competitive thing, no, I know I'd lose, and that's okay. Like, okay, you know. And you know, yeah. We just had Fight to Win here recently, back 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a couple of our competitors, and some of them didn't win. So what?
Mm-hmm.
They're still great training partners. You know, like,
exactly.
You know, they're still way better than me. Like,
yeah. Exactly. No, there's always got to be a winner and there's always got to be a loser, you know? I like to compare it sometimes, too. There's, like, the professional athletes, you know, and they got lots and lots of money on the line. They shouldn't be, like, basketball players. They shouldn't be missing any foul shots all the time they play. <you know? laughs>
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And even there, like, I mean, I could never run up and down a basketball, you know, court. Like, maybe once I'd pass out and die, but I would do it. Right.
That's the game with it all. There's always a winner. There's always a loser, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, you always take something away from that loss, you know?
Absolutely. That's beautiful. So how long did you compete for?
Oh, not long. I just did a couple tournaments here and there. I don't really consider myself like this, quote, competitor. Mm-hmm. But I did a couple New York IBJJFs because it's close by.
Sure. And, were they all no-gi or?
No, I did two gi. The one, okay. I made the mistake of adult rooster weight. That was like.
What is that?
Because I'm a lot older than I look. Then the next one, I finally went in the master division, and I think I was up a weight class at that time, like the light, yeah.
Okay.
And then I did one no-gi at purple belt.
Oh, cool.
Just after I got my purple belt last year. I never did no-gi competition, and it was my first purple belt. And at the time, I actually had a fractured hand, too, that I didn't know.
Oh, wow.
But that was a great division. I was in with one of my friends, Joan. And then I also met Olivia from down in Florida, and they were amazing to compete with. They both kicked my ass, and they were awesome.
That's great.
They were amazing, and I still, you know, nothing better than like I said to my friend John, I'm like, can we be friends again? I don't like this competing against one another. But you leave it all on the mat, you know, regardless. Like, you get out there, you do your thing, and that's what it's about. Like, I love coming back and having these friendships, you know? So I have these two women now that I could reach out to anytime, or that I see now at tournaments, whether I'm competing or not, you know, mm-hmm. give hugs to, say, how you doing? And that's, you know, to me, that's as corny as it's going to sound. That's a win.
Wow, absolutely. Well, that's awesome. I you know, one of the things I'm thankful for being in business is traveling and getting to go to other jiu-jitsu schools. Like, that's just cool, you know.
Yeah.
Where was I going to go? There was a question I was going to ask, and I always do this. Greg, are you listening? Can you actually speak?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, it was because you were moving around a lot, and there was no sound.
Oh, I put it on mute while I was getting myself settled, so you could just hear rustling of me moving around.
Nice. How long before you got your are you a purple belt now?
I am a purple belt now. Okay. Last year I got my purple belt when Sophia was here for my seminar last year, and it was like very, very special. It was a very special moment to have her here for that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that took me from 2012 until whatever last year was like, 2017, so about 5 years.
Congrats. Yeah. That's great.
Thank you. I just focused on it. I'm just like, look, my time was limited, you know, with my son and everything.
Sure.
Luckily my parents are retired parents, and they come down like on the weekend. Their schedule is like Sunday, Monday. They come and spend time with him and stay overnight. So that gives me time to get my training in, get my teaching in, doing everything I have to do. And I just set goals. I'm like, all right, if I get one day on Monday, this is what I need to do. Train Monday morning, train Monday night, and just be focused.
Right.
I tried to hit up seminars on weekends that I could. I started scheduling more private lessons. You know, and of course, and my husband's a black belt. We own the academy together. But, you know, when you married like that, everybody thinks you do all the jiu-jitsu together. But really, you don't. You don't really do any of that together.
Right. So what's the name of the academy you own?
World Class Martial Arts. So nice. We're right outside of Philly. We're in Holmes, PA, and we actually just opened a second location over the summer. I think it was July was our grand opening in Boothwyn. So it's off the Conchester Highway.
Nice.
You're familiar with that area at all?
No, I'm not. No, I should get out there. Pennsylvania and its weird names, I tell you. No, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How do you split working, being parents, husband and wife, in terms of, and then having this academy?
It's hard. It's not rainbows and butterflies, because you gotta be able to, when everything's so intertwined, it's hard to separate your personal life from your work life.
Right.
Because our job is people's hobbies, but to us, it's not a hobby. It's what we do, you know?
Right.
There's lots of times that the fight will go into, you know, well, why'd you do that? Or why, you know, like, it's, but as time is going on, learning to balance it out better. Now the parenting thing is starting to get slightly easier because the baby's getting, he's not a baby, he's a toddler now, getting older.
Right.
You know, and just like anything else, you learn as you go. Especially marriage, kids, doesn't come with a handbook.
Right. No, it doesn't.
So just kind of got to figure out what works, what doesn't, and we're still finding, you know. In fact, this year, one of our goals together as a couple. I said, you know, we got to figure out a better work-life balance because it just can't always be work, 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 work. Even though our work is our passion, there still needs to be a separation. We still need to take a trip without martial arts involved. As much as we love it, we still got to do something without that being attached to it.
Yeah. Do you settle arguments with martial arts?
Every now and then.
Nice.
The ownership agreement for the UFC before they sold it recently had the deciding factor because the two Fertitta brothers had equal partnership and Dana didn't have overriding rights to if there was a disagreement. So the two brothers had equal partnerships. And so in the clause or in the actual contract ownership agreement, any disputes that couldn't be decided between the two brothers were to be decided in a jiu-jitsu match with Dana White as the referee.
No.
It never came to that, but they literally, because they all three trained jiu-jitsu.
Sure.
It literally was part of the ownership agreement for that to be the way that they would handle, instead of arbitration, it was a jiu-jitsu match.
Whoa.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool. Yeah. My wife and I have a prenup. I think I need to add that. Yeah. I think that'd be fun. Although, I mean, one time I got her in my guard and she did not like that close proximity, you know. Kind of like to what we were talking about earlier, Leanne, you know, the space, the you know, just that close contact. She just was not happy with that.
I did not like that. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So I like this idea of thinking everything in a goal perspective. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And so as far as getting to that work-life balance, what trips are you looking to take?
Nothing specific yet. Just anything, you know, anything. It doesn't have to be far, just something, you know. And even doing some things, too, like for myself, just doing some things, you know, when I want to do something. Sometimes I'm always making excuses. Oh, I can't because the baby. I can't because, you know what? Yes, I can. Mm. So this year I made a promise to myself, too, that, like, in 2018, if I want to do X, Y, and Z, you know what? I'm not going to put up a barrier why I can't. I'm going to make it happen.
Like what? Like what would be an example of that?
Like if I want to go train somewhere and do something, I'm going to do it, you know?
Okay.
I'm going to figure it out and make it happen.
Yeah, nice. That's
even though that's not work life, that's still back to martial arts and training.
Well, no, but at least
my sister lives in Florida, so if I want to, you know, there's a point this year where, you know, she's been coming here since she moved down there 3 years ago, and I'd like to go there. I'd like to go spend time and do that. So that's something outside of martial arts and training that I would like to do, and, you know, maybe me and my husband can do together.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, there's something about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, being married is a journey in of itself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
You got two people, and that, I mean, you guys have some unifiers, right? You have your children,
yes.
your son, you have your business. So there's some forced pathing, right? Like you have to go in one direction, but then at the same time, there's other things on the extracurricular level that you have to do.
Yep, we both have our own business ventures too. Then, you know, outside martial arts, he's like a real estate guy. Mm. He's been involved in that for, you know, many years. I have, you know, my Josie Heishi thing. I like to dabble in photography. I'm like working on that right now.
Nice.
I actually went to school for television production.
Cool.
Didn't really do anything with it, and now I graduated over 10 years ago, so everything's changed so much, you know.
Right.
I'm dabbling again in all this stuff by myself and just trying to figure it out as I go, like everything else.
Yeah. You know, you're really inspiring me. I'm a drummer, and I've always wanted to do YouTube covers, and, you know, I got to just do it. Like, who cares, you know, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's awesome. As far as how is your school structure? Because you teach the karate, right?
Yes, so we're both the master instructors in the Tung Soo Do. We actually have one, two, four master instructors in Tung Soo Do, soon to be five. We have somebody coming in a couple of weeks.
That's awesome.
Gosh, a lot of staff of black belt, third degree black belts, second degree black belts, first degree black belts, who are also out there helping us. So typically Mondays, Wednesdays are my nights here, teaching the Tung Soo Do. Then Sundays I run all my private Tung Soo Do lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I have like a whole lineup on Sunday, and I'm also the head coach for our national taekwondo team. For our competitors, they do the AAU taekwondo, so they travel. We travel to the regional qualifiers and then down to Florida for that in the summertime.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then Friday nights, just this year and I started coming back into our black belt class, and then my husband and I both run that together, and another one of our master instructors when he's here, so the three of us are there doing that. And honestly, with jiu-jitsu here, I haven't even been able to train at my own academy lately with the jiu-jitsu. I actually picked up a third shift job at UPS down at the airport, so I'm like juggling that in the mix now too.
Wow.
Because that's like, you know, small business, people think just because you have a business you're rich. You're not, you know.
Yeah.
Small business debt, so that's kind of why that's going on right now, to take care of some things, because, you know, it's only going to be in business 2 years, you know. There's things that it's not, I'm not doing this to make money. What's coming in is going right back out, truly supporting the women. You know, when I say we give back, you know, the sponsored athletes are seeing monetary sponsorships and things like that, and, you know, we're trying to help just the community in general to be a better place. Last year we did this thing for the whole year. Every month, everybody who was a part of my group of my team, I said, look, if you could all donate just $1, send via PayPal $1, we could help so many different, you know, organizations. And that was something we did. You know, we sent to Mission 22. We did Black Belts for Butterflies. We did to the domestic violence hotline or some, whatever that one was.
Mm-hmm.
We did like, there was something else. Oh, I can't remember where it was, with like,
what was Black Belts for Butterflies? I'm sorry.
That's for autism.
Oh,
yeah, so that's their Rich McKeegan runs that. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him in person yet or being at anything. But again, there's a lot of children that come through our doors here that, you know, are autistic. I have my very close friend works with, you know, adults and older teens that have that. So that's something, again, that hits close to home for many people right now. And it's just, there's a lot of organizations out there, you know, and it's things that are bigger than ourselves. And, you know, I'm tired of the negativity. You know, you go on Facebook and I don't want to hear people bitch. You don't like it, do something about it. Or
right.
Do something to make somebody's day better, or do something to make the world better. You know, believe it or not, one person can make a change, but if you have a whole force behind you, a lot can happen. And so we try to, you know, just be a positive brand and a positive thing everywhere. In the group that I've had the pleasure of accumulating, these people are just, I mean, I don't know, words can't describe how wonderful these women are and these men are that are involved in this. And it's like, you're a name on a screen, and then when we finally meet, it's like we knew each other forever, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it's special when we all come together here, and it's like when I have events at my place here, and we're all, it's just, I hate when it ends. I hate when it ends, you know? I wish I could have all these, you know, this whole network of people here with me all the time, because it's just, it's fantastic.
Right. There's something really special about jiu-jitsu in terms of that community
mm-hmm.
aspect, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm not surprised you're being as successful as you are, just given the fact that you're just tapping into something, you know, and flourishing it more, you know, that's awesome. It's just, but it's very interesting how, like, I've never seen that, like, I trained Taekwondo, I never really saw that.
Yes, it's different.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a lot of differences. There's a lot of differences. Like, in my home academy with the Tung Soo Do growing up, we were tight-knit, we were family, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've called many of my friends in my adult life now within this past couple of years, like, my friend was a photographer. Hey, can you come do the maternity pictures? You know, my other friend was there coming to see my son. My instructor came. I hadn't talked to him in years. He came and was holding my son after the first couple of weeks he was born. It was tight-knit within, but anything outside of that, no. I only experienced,
right.
I just experienced for the first time in, like, 2012, I found an amazing group of women that I competed against at the AAU qualifier in 2012. But other than that, I never made close ties with any women that I competed against. And I competed a lot, mm-hmm. Like my entire life like that. Plus, there again, women were far and few between
right.
Coming up through that. And that's, you know, that's where there's a difference too. Again, I think we touched upon that Saturday, you know, talking with Sophia. There's no real separation like in the other arts like that. It was
right.
just kind of like, like our association flag was a faceless person with a black belt doing a sidekick, because the sidekick was such a powerful, strong kick, and the faceless person with the black belt was everybody's goal, you know?
Right.
And it was just like a rank thing. But it's very interesting. It's you know, every, like I said, we started before, every art has something interesting about it and something different about it.
Right. No, that's awesome. How many female athletes are you connected with?
God, I lost count now and on. I had an ambassador page going where I was keeping track, and you know, I just, it's really touched a lot of people in this last year. And it's
That's
been
awesome.
It's been phenomenal. You know, it's sometimes I sit back and I'm like, wow, really? It's like, and it's in other countries too. There's we have a woman, Bridget, she's in South Africa.
Nice.
Cheryl Bennett, she's out in New Zealand, you know, so we're even hitting like other countries. We've got some ambassadors.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
So you recently had Sophie McDermott here this past weekend for your seminar. How did you get hooked up with her? Was it from when you got your purple belt?
No, it was before. Yeah.
Oh.
I actually forgot. Yeah, I had reached out to her when I started this. I forgot that was our initial conversation.
Cool.
That I reached out to her, because I was following her. She was like one of the first, you know, that you hear about when you start female jiu-jitsu. Oh, who's some? Oh, Sophie. At the time, you know, she was Sophia Drysdale, and you gotta follow her. And then yeah, when I started this, you know, I had reached out to her, and I had asked her, you know, can we send you some stuff? Would you be willing and able to be a black belt ambassador for us? She was like, absolutely, you know, and there's like nobody better than Sophia to have on your side.
No, absolutely, she's wonderful, very inspirational.
Yeah,
that's great. How did the because the seminar was 2 weekends? Two weekends. My God, I can't talk anymore. 2 days. It was Saturday and Sunday. Saturday was mixed; it was men and women, and then the Sunday one was female only. How did that go?
Amazing. It was really? Amazing. Yeah.
What did she go over? I'm sorry?
Stuff, women. Women stuff. Good, like, just... It's just, it's... Everything about her is just so incredible, and, mm-hmm. like, she just left me with a new fire, you know, in jiu-jitsu and in life, and I just, after talking with her all weekend and being around her, I want to be more, I want to do more, and I love when she comes. It's, you know, been the second time she was here, and I can't wait to have her back again in July. And, you know, it's July, our camp is going to be phenomenal. She's going to be back, Karen Antunes is going to be here, Vanessa Wexler is going to be here, and they're like three of the most phenomenal women in jiu-jitsu, and I mean, I'm like, wow. I can't believe you're coming to my academy to, you know, host, to teach at this seminar.
That's awesome.
It's just going to be amazing.
Will there be a mixed class as well, or will it be female only?
That one's going to be females only. An entire weekend, it's going to be an all-female camp, yes.
Oh, that's great. Very cool. Yeah. And the only reason I'm asking is I wasn't able to make it to this one. Greg wouldn't let me go.
Yeah.
So, you know,
maybe we'll sneak you in or something. We'll finagle you in here.
Yeah, when I asked him about it, he was just like,
just
nah.
Just give Hugo a wig.
Well, yeah. Well, that could work. yeah, no, that'd be awesome. That's great. Hopefully, we'd love
but
to.
But in all seriousness, I would like to have you guys come in. Maybe we could set something like this up, you know, and the ladies come back, and you could do something with Karen and Vanessa being here, in addition to Sophia again.
That'd be awesome.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. It'd be great. You know, anything again to, you know, help the community grow and support it. That's great. So I guess what's next? What's coming up for you besides this the seminar or the camp? Sorry, seminar.
We just expanded our brand line, so we're also gonna be Josie Haishi Muay Thai.
Ooh!
So that's getting started. The first thing coming in with that are gonna be tank tops.
Cool.
So, tops to get that kicked off. So we're expanding into the Muay Thai area next. So
that's awesome. Will you be hosting like classes and stuff as well?
We got to see where that road takes us. Again, like you know, my impulsive decision. We'll see. But no, that's I'd love to see, you know, eventually, because there's a lot of, I feel like a lot of the jiu-jitsu and the Muay Thai does go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at our second location, we have a striking for Muay Thai class, and then we have the jiu-jitsu class, and I mean, there's definitely interest. So if I can find the right people to bring out to put something together for that, I don't limit it. So if we can do it, we'll do it.
Yeah, I think there is definitely a lot of interest among females in terms of Muay Thai. At least the ones I speak to, they seem to be in it. I mean, we have a jiu-jitsu competitor who trains at our academy who actually originally was looking for a Muay Thai gym specifically and then switched over.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to capture that very strongly.
Well, the crossover too, like if you are familiar with the story behind Jezri Matuta, she only started doing jiu-jitsu because she was really involved. I guess she was training both jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai, but really she just wanted to fight Muay Thai. The Muay Thai instructor made her wait longer and had to keep training. But the jiu-jitsu coach at the gym was like, you can fight next week in jiu-jitsu. She's like, I'm going to do jiu-jitsu then. She wanted to fight Muay Thai, but the instructor was like, no, hold off. We need you to, like, you know, we want you to be safe and, like, develop more. But the jiu-jitsu coach was like, yeah, you can fight Saturday. And she was like, okay. And
I had the opportunity to meet her, actually. In New Jersey at Cutting Edge Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Joseph Manuel had hosted her.
I think I saw you at that event.
Yeah, that was awesome. She's pretty great too. There's so many. There's like, man, that's why I'm like, this year I was like, I just went as many places as I could, meet as many, because there's just so, it's like, wow, you know, it's mind blowing.
That's awesome. Oh, wonderful. Congratulations. That's great. Well, Leah, this has been awesome. We definitely need to have you back on again. Where can people find you in terms of social media?
Oh, I'm everywhere. I got personal account on Instagram, Warrior Women of Jiu-Jitsu. Personal Facebook, Leanne Morris. Twitter. I'm also then my business, Josie Haishi BJJ. Instagram, I think it's Josie_Haishi_BJJ. We got Facebook. We got Twitter. I'm on all the social media.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you so much and good luck with everything. And
Guys, thank you. I'm really honored, you know, that you had asked me to be on here. I truly appreciate this opportunity. I think you guys are great. I think what you're doing is also, like, it's stuff that's got to be done. Somebody's got to take initiative. And I'm really enjoying following you guys and your podcast. And I'm really glad that we were able to connect and meet one another.
Yeah, thank you so much. The honor is ours.
My question.
No, I was saving that for you.
Oh, so I like to ask the same question to all the guests. What's the first submission that you remember being caught in? Not the first one you caught or anything like that, but just the first one. It may not even be the first one, but the first one that comes to mind that you remember being caught in.
More than likely a triangle or an arm bar.
Nice.
Because I still get caught in them now.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, and good luck with everything.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
Take care.